TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head. Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for...
You got no choice, babe, but to move on. You know there ain't no time to waste. You're just too blind to see, but in the end you know... Short.
This is my yard now.
That strange conglomeration of music and sound bites can only mean one thing. For the third time in history, we are doing something which makes this the hashtag Miranda and Greg DeMarco super such good shit show 3, pal. That's what we are on here today. My name is Greg DeMarco. You can find my social media. I wouldn't say you can find me on social media. You can find my social media at ChairShotGreg. That's Facebook. That's Twitter. That's Instagram. I am so far removed from social media that today I actually made Miranda move our conversation from Facebook Messenger to text message. And she already dropped a K-bomb on me. Like, it didn't take a day for her to drop a K-bomb on me.
Awesome! I came to...
Okay.
Seriously, already dropped a K-bomb on me. I've already said her name, already brought it up, so we might as well bring her into the party. You know she's here. You already heard her laughing. She is the hashtag queen of soft style. She is... Actually, you know, before we do that, I should point out we're doing this because Patrick O'Dowd's not here. And so when Patrick O'Dowd's not here, we still want to show him the love.
F-A-B-U-L-O-U-S.
But not too much, only a little bit. So you can go follow him on the Twitter, at Wrestling Realist. That's WrestlingRealist. Patrick O'Dowd, been doing this show with me since day one. No-ish, and he is not with us today due to the craziness that is the scheduling of this show. Maybe we'll talk about that. Maybe we won't. Who knows? And I oftentimes refer to Patrick O'Dowd during the opening as my best friend in the whole entire world. Well, it's time to make something podcast official for the people to understand because I don't have one of those. I have two of those. That's right. And the other one who's making faces and hand gestures that you'll never see because this is an audio show and not a video show. She is the hashtag queen of soft style. She is the Twitterless heroine herself. She is the official, the real, the OG wild card bitches. She's the ringing out you to the stars. She is at the hashtag Miranda on both Instagram and Facebook because, like we said, she don't need no Twitter. It's Miranda Morales. That was the short version. Oh, we're the long version. Was... Hang on. You need
that's
a long.
That's okay.
Viva la raza.
Okay.
I lie, I cheat, I steal. I lie.
Shut your dumb mouth.
Yeah, we got to keep those to a minimum today. Like, we got stuff going on.
We got a lot of stuff going on, but let's be real. I mean, the real reason that Patrick isn't here today is that I embarrassed him last week.
You did.
In wrestling.
Oh my goodness,
Jeopardy.
Did you ever?
So, I mean, I don't know if he could show his face again
really
for a while,
can.
But, you know, Two-time champ here. Two-time.
Not at all. So, yeah, we've had some fun. We've had, some things going on. But, yeah, we're here. We're making it happen.
We're here. I mean, it is a crazy time. This is right before Thanksgiving. People are working. People got to plan for Thanksgiving. I somehow got rigged into hosting Thanksgiving this year. I don't even know how to cook. I don't even know what I'm doing, Greg. So my anxiety levels is all over the place because I need to cook a full meal in 2 days. I have to learn how to cook in 2 days. I have to actually buy food in 2 days. You know, the whole thing. But I still made time to do this podcast with you and to work out. For, you know, people who aren't familiar with the show, we are not only best friends, but each other's
I never explained the whole best friend thing, but you just did, so that's okay.
Well, that's true. I mean, well, you introduced us as best friends.
I guess so. There's two in the entire world. One of them's not here. The other one is Miranda Morales.
Yes. But I took the time to work out, sent you my workout, accountability buddy. You did not, I mean, being your accountability buddy.
It's easy for you to say.
I didn't get anything from you. Yeah, not easy. But I did it. So what is up? Why did I not get any info about your workout today?
So the whole reason we're doing this show, things got moved around, right? Schedules got all messed up. And my son's soccer practice he usually has Monday and Wednesday and Thursday. And for those of you who listen, we don't try to pretend that this show's live. We record it on Tuesday night. Well, Wednesday and Thursday got canceled because Wednesday is the day before Thanksgiving and Thursday is Thanksgiving, the aforementioned day where Miranda has to learn how to cook. And so they moved, they added another soccer practice today on Tuesday. So we were trying to figure out schedules. Usually I don't get home till like after 9, and so the recording was going to be all crazy and messed up and whatever. So take the kid to soccer, and so I'm like, I'm going to work out on Tuesday, which I don't always do. So I'm working out. I'm doing my thing. I'm doing my road work. It's like 7 miles at this point. I didn't do any of the bodyweight stuff. I was only doing the running. So I was pretty happy with that, right? And I'm like, from where I park to do this, there's a whole trek, right? Okay. And there's like a midpoint of the trek where no matter which way you go, you're pretty much equal distance from getting back to the car. So I'm pretty much right in the middle, right, of this lap. And I get an alert on my phone that says, soccer practice is ending at 8, so make sure you come get your kid. It was 7:42. And I was far away from the car. And I had done a lot of running, and at this point I was not running. I was excited, and I was just like, I was looking at where I was, and I was looking at time, and I was like, oh crap. So I did a lot more running than I planned on doing tonight, because I'd already done the running portion.
You sprinted out of there.
I didn't, I ran. I just did the same pace that I was running before, but yeah, a lot extra running on top of what I was supposed to do, and I got there at 7:57, I walked down, and those fuckers didn't finish till like 8:05. Like, I had extra time. But it's okay. It worked out.
You know, those messages are not for parents like you. You know that. Like, the good parents. They're for the parents who drop off their kids, and they don't, you know, show up for hours and hours on end.
There was somebody who sent a message that was like, yo, we're going to be late, man. You can just have them wait for us. Like, someone did message the team that. They were like, we're like 35 minutes away. We were getting there at 8:30. Yeah, it was kind of funny. But you give me a lot of credit, and I'll take it. But yeah, so that's why. Because normally, I would get back, and I would hop in the car, and I would either send the pictures then, or I would drive over to the field and I would send the pictures then. I literally had to rush, jump in, go. And so, yeah, it happened. I have stuff. Okay. I will send stuff later. It will be recorded.
I'm just saying, I wouldn't be doing my job if I wasn't holding you accountable.
And let's be honest, since we're just, you know, we don't pull curtains back. There are no curtains at this point. We if it wasn't for the two of us, we've made a lot of progress and a lot of change thanks to these two people doing their job. So we're gonna we're going to tout ourselves here for a moment in what we've been able to accomplish.
You're so vain. You probably think this song is about you. You're so vain.
You're so vain.
I bet you think this song is about you. Don't you? Don't you?
So that's where we are. That's what we have going on right now. That's why this show is taking place when it is. Miranda's got a house full of people. I got the usual house full of people that I always have. And, you know, it's Thanksgiving, and we're going to have some fun. This is the super, super good, super, what is it? I don't even know what the name of the show is. Super Such Good Shit Show 3, pal. And we're going to have a lot of fun.
3.
That's right. This is the third. This is number 3. The third. And it's the third time I've done this. Or was that the second time?
Just the second, but let's be honest. I mean,
that was the third.
That was the third. I mean, really, the only reason this show was happening this week is for us to talk about Adam Cole. I mean, I know I joked the past few weeks that Greg DeMarco is like a proud parent with Adam Cole being featured on main roster, on NXT. I mean, that's his man crush Monday. His wrestler crush Wednesday, whatever you want to call it, but you know that's his boo. That's his person for anyone.
Yeah,
who
like when you have a best friend, when you're best friends with people, you have to like make plans, and you have to like, you know, when you live in different cities or even different states, you got to plan things out. There's travel involved. Like, I would never alter any of those plans. Unless, of course, like Adam Cole was coming to town or something like that. At which point, you know what? Who? I don't even know you guys. What are you talking about?
Nope.
But since you brought it up, let's just go ahead and make this transition easy.
8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You can do your thing. You can do it.
Oh, I have to do the thing?
Of course you got to do the thing.
And there.
Shock the system.
You know, we're short on time. We're just going
to
let the whole thing play.
I mean, we all hauled out for the boom, but we don't have time for the boom today.
No, and the boom isn't that really that good in the song. Like, it's kind of funny. The boom is kind of understated in the song itself. So, yeah, there's another song with a boom in it, actually, that we could always use. But so, yeah, that's obviously the theme song for the Undisputed Era. And Miranda did mention Adam Cole, and you know what? I mean, let's just really set the table. During the Royal Rumble, what the hell is wrong with me? During the Survivor Series kickoff, I sent Miranda a message about one thing during the entire kickoff show. One specific thing. What was that one thing?
He sent me a message asking, did you see that Adam Cole promo? Yeah, pretty much that. Just
this time,
are you
NXT
watching
champion Adam Cole? Adam, last night you led Undisputed Era into a chaotic War Games match at TakeOver. Are you feeling 100% heading into your title defense tonight against Pete Dunne?
100%. Kathy, look at my week. Raw, SmackDown, a ladder match on NXT, and less than 24 hours ago, I was in War Games at NXT TakeOver. So no, of course I'm not 100%. But unfortunately for Pete Dunne, I'm still Adam Cole, baby. And don't get me wrong, Pete Dunne was a great champion. The longest reigning NXT UK champion of all time, but he's never had a week like I've had. And that's not me complaining, by the way, I'm bragging. Because myself and the Undisputed Era, we are the measuring stick of NXT. And even though Pete Dunne is a part of our brand, I'm going to treat him like I would a Raw or SmackDown superstar, showing Pete Dunne what a superior champion, what a superior brand looks like. And that, Kathy, that's Undisputed.
Oh, I mean, let's just call a spade, right? That was brilliant. I mean, that was absolute brilliance on behalf of that. Good.
It
no,
was good.
Look, puppies are good. Okay, like a B minus is good. That was fantastic. That was riveting. That was undisputed. I can't even say without laughing.
No, I was waiting for you. I mean, not as good as Adam Cole.
Oh, no. No one is.
Good. But, you know, that was all right.
So let's, I'm just going to pose the question right now. I'm just going to, you know, we're short on time. I want to pose the question to you and to the world. Who's the greatest wrestler on God's green earth, and why is it Adam Cole?
Look,
two part question. Part one: who's the greatest wrestler on God's green earth? Part two: why is it Adam Cole? Baby.
I think that promo did a really good job of highlighting really what he did that week. I mean, it really was an intense week, more than I think anybody else on the roster. Of the entire WWE roster. I mean, he worked three shows, a ladder match. Then you had War Games. He went through two tables, at least one table. But, you know, off the top of a cage, I mean, I don't know how he could be standing after the week that he had. And it really showed, though, too, that throughout that entirety of the week, he stayed 100% confident, 100% driven, and all his matches were fantastic. I mean, the quality of them were very, very consistent, and he did a beautiful job telling a story in each one of them. So it's a rarity to have someone wrestle that much in one week to do the job that he did and literally still be standing at the end of it. So very much commend Adam Cole for a really, really eventful week, and also a successful title defense.
Which, I mean, what did I say was going to happen in that title defense? Let's be honest, right? Call a spade a spade. Call Greg out. What did Greg say was going to be the result of that title match?
Greg said that he thought that Adam Cole was going to lose the NXT title to Pete Dunne.
And probably should have.
It's understandable. Literally that whole week, especially what he had gone through the night before, shocked that he came into the ring as seemingly as well prepared as he was.
Yeah. And I agree. And it's I thought he was going to lose. And what we didn't get into was the longer term idea. I didn't think he was going to lose it for very long. I figured he would have won it back in the coming weeks. After that, it would have been one of those like momentary triumphs that you know, a few weeks later he somehow gets into a rematch and regains the championship from Pete Dunne, and it's also a big moment for Pete Dunne and kind of sets those things up. Obviously, I was wrong. I don't mind that I was wrong because it's Adam Cole and he can do no wrong. But yeah, it was, and I still believe this. And we've talked about this on one of the shows. Mine or yours. I don't know which one it was at this point. No one has benefited more from NXT versus Raw versus SmackDown than Adam Cole. There are some people who have benefited tremendously, including two women and one other guy who have just benefited tremendously from this feud. But at the top of the list, I would put Adam Cole. Like, he has just literally been the flag bearer for this whole thing. Interestingly enough, I wonder when they came up with this idea to do Raw versus SmackDown versus NXT, because after TakeOver 25, Triple H actually said that Adam Cole was the guy to lead NXT into the future. So, and then here we are, you know, what, 6 months later, 5 months later, and that's exactly what happened. Like you got to plan these things somewhat in advance, and I know we don't like to give them credit for that, but it does seem like this was a bit of a plan, and they've done, yeah, obviously, in our opinion, an amazing job of doing that. But to me, like, I mean, Adam Cole is just, no one has benefited more than him. And that's just my opinion. Maybe you disagree. Maybe you think someone else has benefited more than him.
Well, I would say between the two, I think there's two flag bearers in this invasion angle, and that's both Adam Cole and Shayna Baszler. I think both of them have benefited. I would say that maybe Adam Cole has gotten a lot more TV time and a lot more visibility than Shayna Baszler, but Shayna being able to be a part of the main event, that's huge. That's historic, not only for women, but for her as NXT Women's Champion. So I think that the visibility probably goes a little bit more on Adam Cole's side because he was more involved in stories and matches in all shows. But I think Shayna really, she shined, and they really did set her up for success. Though I know there's a lot of mixed reviews and opinions about the match itself, she was set up as a really dominant wrestler and force and representation of NXT. So I would say maybe not necessarily more, but absolutely up there with Adam Cole.
So let's dive into that. Before we dive into that, because I love what you just brought up, and it's one of the things that you know, on the list of topics we could talk about, it was definitely one of the ones that I liked. We can't talk about everything today. We just can't.
You got time, nobody got time for that.
Lives happen. But before we do that, any other comments on Adam Cole, the fact that he's the greatest professional wrestler in the world? Are we going to argue against that? Are we going to fight right here in front of everyone? Fight in front of the kids? Like, what are we going to do? Or we'll move on to the topic that you so eloquently transitioned us back to, into, and I pulled us out of, just to make sure we confirm what needs to be confirmed.
This is what friendship looks like twisting my words to try to get it into the opinion that you want. Like, what are you, wrestling Twitter? Like, what are you doing?
What's wrestling Twitter? I have no idea.
I'm so far removed, Greg. You still know.
Today is day 26. Day 26 that I have not been anything a part of wrestling Twitter. I got an email earlier in the week from somebody that was like, hey, I saw your post on Facebook and you haven't been around anywhere. Are you okay? Someone who checked on me the other day. It's not even somebody that I really know that well, but you know, just because I haven't done anything. And I was like, yeah, I'm better than fine. I'm like happier this way. So, but yeah, wrestling Twitter, I get it.
Yes. Well, I really like Adam Cole. He's a fantastic wrestler, fantastic performer, really good promos, best in the world. I can't wholeheartedly say that. And it's just because there's a lot of stiff competition around there, and maybe this kind of consistency from Adam Cole for a longer period of time, absolutely. And again, not to say he's not consistently good, just I, to be honest, haven't seen as much of him as you have. So I still got some things to determine on Adam Cole, but okay. He'll get up there.
Let me ask you, Name three people that you might consider to be better.
Oh, gosh. Ooh, that's a good question. Pass.
No, what? Okay, name one.
Ooh. It depends on what level you're trying to say. Like, are you just talking overall wrestler or?
I would say overall, because promo, in-ring ability, look, charisma, all that stuff factors into it. I mean, it's wrestling is a business. It's not just what happens in between the ropes, although that's a big part of it.
I don't know. Who I'd like to put a little bit over.
Okay.
Not to say maybe dramatically, but it was the person that put him through the table in War Games, which is Tommaso Ciampa.
Nope.
That's
sorry.
it's just a preference. I'm just saying.
Okay. No, I really just wanted to do that. Like, I was just waiting for you to give me somebody so we could do that. So there you go. I really loved what you brought up earlier and talking about Shayna Baszler and the job that she, the performance that she's had during this. We've talked about it. When she basically walked in and kicked Charlie Caruso out of the interview with Becky Lynch and sat down and was like, "Hey, Becky," and just like she belonged where she was at that, you know, that point in time. And I think Shayna Baszler has benefited tremendously from this. I actually would put her third behind Rhea Ripley, who I think has benefited even more than Shayna Baszler has. But some of that has to do because Baszler was already there and Rhea wasn't. And this whole weekend really put over Rhea Ripley in a huge way. They won War Games 2-on-4. I have some thoughts on that that we probably won't get to. And then, you know, obviously she won. She was the one to pin Sasha Banks to win the Women's Survivor Series 5v5v5 match. So she got a big, big bunch of shine over those 2 days. But Shayna Baszler, to me, I'm a huge Shayna Baszler fan. Like you know this. I mean, even at TakeOver Phoenix, like her match with Bianca Belair, the biggest criticism on Shayna Baszler has been that all of her matches are the same. And I'll be honest with you, that's what I like about Shayna Baszler, because she's the fighter, right? She came from the world of mixed martial arts. She has no reason to alter her strategy unless an opponent forces her to. And to me, I love that she goes out there with some consistency and is able to enact the same strategy and win in the same way each, you know, time in and time out. So I completely disagree with the criticism that people have laid on the main event of Survivor Series. I thoroughly enjoyed that match, the main event match of Survivor Series, and I loved seeing Shayna in her element. And honestly, at least the end, she dominated. I mean, she literally dumped Becky on a table and then went in the ring and forced Bayley to tap out. Like, that was a huge, talking about putting somebody over strong, that was like Roman Reigns level of strong putting over for Shayna Baszler. That was Shayna Baszler's way of looking at the entire women's divisions of both NXT, Raw, and SmackDown and saying,
"This is my yard now."
So I loved it. I don't agree with the criticism of the main event at all. I thoroughly enjoyed that match.
I would say that I did enjoy the match. I kind of understand the criticism, but I think it's all about perspective. I think it's at the main event, so after a bunch of really good matches, and one in particular that took me by surprise, that I ended up enjoying more than I thought I would, was the match right before that, which was Brock Lesnar and Rey Mysterio. And that had like just a lot of turmoil, a lot of excitement around it. And what happens usually when you have a match that really gets people high and energetic, sometimes there's a really big dip and a big, you know, low period or just kind of silence. And it just, I think that was going to happen for the most part, no matter what match was going to come up next. It just happened to be the main event. So I think that people were kind of riding low after the previous match, and there wasn't a lot of energy in the crowd. I also think that it was a little tricky between the dynamic of the three women. You had a lot of hard moments between Becky and Shayna. And as much as this pains me to say this, there were some things that Bayley did that just made me feel she was so out of place. I felt like there was a disconnect between her character and her moveset, or just that her character now being a heel and her reactions to Shayna specifically kind of being scared of her, even though she's supposed to be this kind of, maybe not badass, but, you know, no, a heel. And really, heels are not really meant to be scared of people unless you're like a, you know, chicken shit heel, but that's not how her character is being portrayed. So I think there was other elements within the match that didn't flow as well as other matches. Even in the chaos on the 5-on-5-on-5, there was really good chemistry. There was good movesets and just a good flow. And I think that that was missing a little bit from the main event. So overall, a really good match. All three women performed well. But I think those little elements, after having such a good show, people were a little bit more critical of it. And also, I think just drained from the excitement of the entirety of the night.
They were. I mean, Survivor Series clocked in at under 4 hours, which was different for WWE. And you didn't need to watch the first hour of the kickoff because they didn't do anything except, you know, that phenomenal promo by Adam Cole. But there was a lot, like you could cut off a lot of things, and really time-wise, it was fairly decent. I mean, we sat through a 4.5-hour Royal Rumble and didn't realize it was 4.5 hours long until it was over, but we were there live, so it's totally different. Can't really make the comparison. And WrestleMania is like 18.5 hours long, so it is what it is.
It's a day's worth of work.
Exactly. It's a whole
shift. We should get paid to watch WrestleMania. That's a topic for another time, but pay us for WrestleMania.
It's $9.99. I feel like it's free anyway, so it's okay. But, you know, the stadiums in L.A. and Vegas are going to be done soon. WrestleMania 37 is just around the corner.
West Coast.
That's right.
West Coast.
We'll be there. Come find us. We'll be working the door. That's what we do. That's our job.
We're not podcasting, working the door.
Yep, that's what we do. We don't ever produce and put on shows or anything like that. Nope, that's not us. Nah. But I agree with you in that Bayley and Shayna don't mix well. And there are just styles that don't work. And that's something that we've seen, just different people when they get together. Even in the match between AJ Styles, Shinsuke Nakamura, and Roderick Strong, we saw again that for some reason in a WWE ring, Nakamura and AJ Styles just don't mix. And I was really surprised Roderick Strong won that match, by the way. But it to me, that's kind of Shayna Baszler and Bayley. If they move forward with something with Shayna Baszler and Becky Lynch, and it seems like they are, to me, I think that's going to be a much better mix of styles.
Absolutely.
And will be highly, highly entertaining. And I'll say it right now. I think that, in my opinion only, I think Shayna Baszler wins the 2020 Women's Royal Rumble match, and I think we get Shayna Baszler versus Becky Lynch at WrestleMania 36. I'm just putting it out there. There's no Twitter bet. I'm not even doing Twitter bets anymore, because just now that I'm not on Twitter that much, I don't want to. There's no more Twitter bets.
Just real betting, just like in the good old days.
Yes, I bet a shiny nickel on the fact that Shayna Baszler will win the Royal Rumble and go on to challenge Becky Lynch at WrestleMania 36. I just think that they've laid the groundwork for it, and to me, sometimes because they don't hit us over the head with something, it should be obvious, but it isn't, but it really should be. Like Kevin Owens in War Games, we should have known that was coming when the Undisputed Era attacked him on Raw, but yet nobody really seemed to see it coming. So same thing with me, like the what happened with Becky Lynch and Shayna Baszler at the end of Survivor Series, to me, seems to be setting that up, especially because they're going with a hard brand split now. There was no crossover talent on Raw on Monday night, and they're going with that hard brand split. The only way for Baszler to get her hands on Becky Lynch at this point is to win the Women's Royal Rumble match. And that's where I think they're going with that one. That's super long term, but that's where I think it's headed.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that prospect. I mean, we talked about this a lot right after WrestleMania, and I remember us talking about, you know, who would we want to see Becky Lynch go up against? And Shayna Baszler was brought up because it made the most sense, not only after this whole thing with Ronda, but just, you know, who could match up her intensity? Who could match up her level of hard-hitting, just badassery? And so to have that, you know, already on the roster in the form of Shayna Baszler, I mean, is perfect. So I think I totally agree as far as also, you know, what the Women's Royal Rumble can do to set somebody up, and to see how well Survivor Series set up NXT for the future. It's very plausible that they continue to ride this wave into 2020 and have someone from NXT win the Royal Rumble. It is completely possible now because they won Survivor Series. So I also think that WWE is setting NXT up for some major things in 2020.
You know who I think could win a Royal Rumble match in 2020?
All right, gentlemen, you have 3 minutes, and you better make it good.
We got 3 minutes, and we're out of here. The clock is ticking, and we're in the clear. We got 3 minutes, and we're out of here. We got 3 minutes, and we're out
of here. That is, of course, a 3-minute warning. I got to get, maybe somebody can get me in touch with Eric Bischoff and see if I can get like a lady and gentleman or something, because seriously, dude, like there's other people in the world. Granted, when that was recorded, there was two guys in the ring, so I guess we can let Eric Bischoff get away with it.
It's but okay.
For now. So 3 minute warning, like, never takes 3 minutes, and we do want to make sure we respect this topic, but Mauro Ranallo was not a part of the SmackDown, or not a part of the Survivor Series announced teams at all. There were a million different announcers during Survivor Series, and none of them were named Mauro Ranallo. And a lot of this is being said, and we don't know the truth, but because of a tweet that Corey Graves sent out, which is still live, where he basically points out, to everybody that, hey, I don't know if you guys know this, but there is a WWE Hall of Famer. He's talking about, you know, Beth Phoenix. And I think he says a former world champion. I don't remember what he referred to.
Former Ring of Honor.
Ring of Honor world champion. Yeah. Don't know if anybody noticed or something like that. And basically, he's insinuating that Mauro Ranallo is manipulating all of the airtime during NXT TakeOver War Games. And somebody else replied about the rap references and the Chicago rap references. And Corey Graves talked about how there were too many. And that caught, you know, Mauro. Now, since then, Mauro Ranallo has, they like to use the phrase deleted their Twitter. He probably just deactivated it and can turn it back on tomorrow if he wanted to, and everything would still be there. It's not really deleting a Twitter, but that's sounds better, gets more clicks. And he's no longer on the Twitter right now, and he wasn't working on Survivor Series. And it's kind of caused a little bit of reaction from the internet wrestling community, the real wrestling community. It's definitely been a topic and a thing. And so it's obviously good for us to talk about it as well. I know Patrick kind of shared that he didn't think it was a huge deal. We've hinted at our thoughts a little bit, but haven't gone full into them. So what do you think? What, you know, there's no real direction here. Just what's your thoughts, yeah. Perspective? What's your perspective on the whole thing? That's what the show's all about anyway.
So I'm really curious as to what prompted him to say that on Twitter. I don't know if he was frustrated with how the commentary was on NXT, but it wasn't a show he was on. So, you know, what's it to him? And yes, you know, he has Mauro Ranallo has a really dynamic and out there type of style of commentary. But I mean, that's also his style of commentary. You know, everyone has that style. They are well known for it. And I do think that they are still trying to find that balance between Mauro and Beth and Nigel, but every three-man team has that dynamic. It's a struggle to figure out timing and communication and cues. And so that's why I think three-man booths are it's an extra challenge. It's really, really hard. I know from more of the personal side, a lot of fans are upset because of the way that many people know about Mauro's kind of mental health and the status of it and how that impacts his work, both positively and negatively. He has admitted and talked about that. And also how sometimes the pressure of the job can get to him. I saw his documentary and it was really riveting to see how dedicated he is to his work, but also how sometimes that dedication gets, you know, just swept over by a lot of issues with his mental health, as far as, you know, how he approaches his work and how he handles, you know, working with other people. So knowing that, I just don't see why Corey felt so compelled to post that on Twitter. Like, what was the point of it? What was he trying to do? Especially if maybe there was a way that it could have been handled differently in more of a behind-the-scenes role, in a production role, instead of just calling someone out on Twitter. I just didn't find it really necessary or conducive to anything helpful, really. And it's just like in the real world. You know, we work regular jobs. Most people who are listening to this work regular jobs. So anytime you have a conflict with someone, what are you told to do? What's the right thing to do? You don't go on Twitter and bash them. You talk to them directly. You go to a manager, whatever it is. you work in a professional setting. You work a job. Like, what makes you think it's okay to go on Twitter and shell that out and not maybe the person directly? That's just my thoughts. Again, not knowing all of the information. Maybe he did go to production and they told him, you know, there was nothing he could do about it. Maybe he did try to talk to tomorrow and that was it. Who knows? But it doesn't seem likely if his first instinct is to go on Twitter.
Yeah, it's interesting for me because, first off, just call a spade, Corey Graves is a douchebag. He was a douchebag before he tweeted this. Like, he's just, let's just be honest. Like, that's just who he is. The guy's a jerk. The guy's an asshole. But he kind of owns that. Like, that's just who he is.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah,
he doesn't hide that. It's kind of part of him, you know, and part of the package when you're dealing with Corey Graves. And so I'm not surprised that he would tweet that at all. Like, that's a very Corey Graves thing to do. And that's a very Twitter thing to do in general. We once got rid of a writer because I think, like, I don't know, they didn't like the size of a headline. I don't know. They didn't like a headline on the website or something like that. And he's tweeting all about it. And I was just like, dude, why don't you just send me a message? And he's like, I can't share my opinion about the website on Twitter. And I'm like, let's just think about this. And he finally didn't get it. And I was just like, you know what? We don't need you anymore. And so he doesn't write for us anymore. It was a while back. It's probably, I don't know, May.
Future endeavored.
Dang. Yeah, basically. He gone. And and that's because he, you know, should have, if you didn't like something, just let me know and we'll talk about it. But social media affords people that opportunity, good or bad. And for the next part, before, I just want to preface this with, like, I'm a huge fan of Mauro Ranallo. I am one of probably, you know, 10,000 people blocked by JBL for sending out a tweet in support of Mauro Ranallo at some point. It's just something, you know, JBL, you want to get blocked by JBL, say you're a fan of Mauro, and he'll block you for some reason. He'll find you and he'll block you. Like, it wasn't even in response to anything JBL did. It's just, they were fighting one day,
he was
just
looking for people who liked Mauro.
Literally, I'm pretty sure he just was like, search for anybody tweeting about Mauro and then block them, because that's what happened. I don't know. It's another one of those things. Like, I've never tweeted about Titus O'Neil or Goldberg, and they have me blocked too, so it is what it is. But, and I preface that because I think that if you're dealing with that, if you're dealing with a mental health situation, if you're in that situation, if you're in, you know, going through what he's going through, you got to know. Like, you just got to protect yourself. And maybe don't be on social media. Maybe don't. And he didn't mention him. It's not like he was in his mentions. Somebody would have had to point it out to him. But
yeah, nobody added him.
Yeah, you know, unless people replied. I don't know if anybody replied and added Mauro. They probably did. But in not meaning to do any harm either. They probably added him just because they were like, how could you say that about @Mauro Ranallo? You know, people would do that. And I just think, you know, maybe Twitter's not the best place for him to be anyway. And you know, I left, you know, by and large, Facebook, Twitter, and whatever. And it wasn't because of that reason at all. I did it because I felt like it was dominating too much attention and mental energy. And that's why I've cut back on that so much. But I made that decision because of just what I was experiencing. And I was like, yo, I should do this. And I feel like maybe that's a decision that could benefit someone like him and someone in his position. Now, I have to, you know, there's plenty of people out there listening that have known me for a long time and are probably a little surprised by the things that I'm saying, because 3 months ago, I probably would have been like, dude, this is Mauro's fault. Like, stay off Twitter. You need to know better, whatever. But I've really come around on mental health in recent times, especially in the past month and a half. I mean, today's November 26th. October 23rd is when I had my own. And so I view it a different way. Like, I'm way more sympathetic now than I ever was before. And I was wrong for not being more sympathetic in the past. And I guess for me, it's like, what's the easiest way to help yourself? And that is, you know, maybe stay off of it. Because Mauro Ranallo is amazing. Like, I think he's the perfect commentator for NXT. The job that he does on NXT suits that audience. It suits that product. It suits that environment. Everything. And if he were calling, like, Pete Dunne versus Adam Cole at Survivor Series, or if he called maybe the women's elimination match, there were spots where he could have been real good and real effective on that show. And I thought Michael Cole did a good job. Michael Cole, when he's not being overproduced, is actually quite the good commentator. Go watch the first ever United Kingdom Championship Tournament that was called by Michael Cole and Nigel McGuinness, where no one was in Michael Cole's ear, and he did a damn good job. It was the best commentary I've ever heard him do. And he's just, you know, that's just the role he had to play at different times is a little bit different. So I feel for the situation that Mauro was in. But I just, you know, it sucks, but I think it's a douchebag on social media is always going to be there. And you just can't, Twitter's not going to, he didn't violate any Twitter policy. He didn't do anything. Yeah, it was stupid and it was uncalled for and it was unnecessary. And Corey Graves is a douchebag and Corey Graves is a piece of shit, but social media allows that. Social media allows Corey Graves to be a douchebag and a piece of shit. And it's just, it's kind of like you're diving into these murky, muddy cesspool waters when you're going on social media. And I'm not even trying to say that Mauro needs to stay off of it. Mauro don't need it. Like it's kind of like we joke about you and Twitter. Like, you don't need Twitter. Mauro don't need it. And Mauro is Mauro and he's fantastic and he's amazing. And he just doesn't need the bullshit. And it's you know, he's letting someone get to him that shouldn't get to him. To me, Corey kind of won in this whole thing, which sucks because Corey shouldn't win. But, you know, Mauro got off Twitter and Mauro didn't do Survivor Series. Like, and
I mean, I think there's
Corey shouldn't have been able to do that.
And short-term wins, I think there's in the short-term wins, yeah, maybe, but long-term, who knows how it's going to affect both of their careers.
True.
And yeah, Corey wants to continue to do this to people. Sure, he can do it, but there's always an expiration date. There's always going to be that one tweet that goes too far or that one person he messes with, and it can send some pretty catastrophic, dominoes down. So I hope both of them utilize this as a way to kind of evaluate, you know, their how they react. I think that with, you know, people on Twitter, you're always going to have them absolutely. And then, you know, I think for Mauro, maybe it was the best bet just to kind of deactivate, to delete for a while, to kind of decompress, to disconnect. Totally okay, because maybe you do that so that you don't go on Twitter and say things that you're going to regret. And hopefully for Corey, he looks at this as a scenario as, you know, maybe I don't do that next time. Or, you know, if you continue to do it, sure. But I promise you, there is going to be a time where your next tweet or the next person you go after, it's not going to be good. And it could end up, you know, really jeopardizing your job, your, you know, ability to be part of a company. You know, who knows? We also live in a society where your next tweet could be your last, because you never know how people are going to take it. You never know how it's going to be perceived, how it's going to be received. And so you mess one thing up and you're canceled, bro. You're canceled. So, you know, he could be next.
He could. He told Corey Graves is like the perfect candidate for cancel culture. Like, he really is. And you're right about that. I hope someone can knock some sense into that guy. I think he's a good commentator. I enjoy what he does. You know, maybe Carmella can have a good conversation with him about that. She seems like she'd be a little more caring. Who knows? But yeah, it's weird. Like, I don't think we have a definitive answer. And I know that's what people probably want is a definitive. But it's just not.
It's a complicated situation.
It is.
It's complicated because when you're dealing with mental health, you're dealing with your job, you know, you're dealing with people not liking you, you're dealing with, you know, people airing stuff on social media. It's a complicated subject, you know, but ultimately I think people should treat each other the way they want to be treated. And maybe asshole is the language of Corey Graves, and that's how he speaks, and that's how he receives messages. So, you know, maybe it will help if people are assholes to him. Who knows? But also for Mauro, I mean, there's a lot of people who do support him, who love his commentary. And maybe he decided to kind of disconnect for a while so that way he can have some time to kind of, you know, just think about things and be back at it. I mean, hopefully he's on air tomorrow. We see him, we enjoy him on NXT, and we can continue to enjoy him as a commentator week in and week out.
I'm with you. That's what I hope for too. And hopefully, you know, a week from now, this is something we don't think about and worry about, and they can both go on and do their things, and we don't have to worry about all that. So we're about to wrap things up this week for this special edition of the Hashtag Miranda Ooh. And Greg DeMarco Super Such Good Shit Show 3, pal.
3.
We appreciate you guys listening. Before you go, please, if you want to do us a favor, just a favor for these two best friends who've been working real hard at this for almost a year now. I don't remember the first time you appeared, but I feel like it was over a year ago at this point. Head on over to @TheWrestleHub on Twitter. Their pinned tweet has a link to a Google Doc. Not off a website, but their pinned tweet has a link to a Google Doc. You can vote for the Wrestling Podcast Awards. And the Chair Shot is well represented on those Wrestling Podcast Awards. Pot is War, which is PC Tunney, Christopher Platt, and Andrew Belez, are nominated for Trio of the Year. One half of this program, the Greg DeMarco Show, which is, of course, myself, of course, Miranda, and of course, Patrick O'Dowd. We were nominated for Best Comedy of the Year. And the Hashtag Miranda Show, which we started back in the spring with Miranda Morales and some guy pressing lots of buttons, was nominated for Newcomer of the Year. So if you could do us a solid, head on over there, vote, pick, you know, vote for us. There are some categories we're not in, so just pick whoever you want in those categories, right? Pick us in our categories. Pick whoever you want in the other categories, and it will be all good. And pick the entire brand. The Chair Shot itself was nominated for Best Brand. And just head on out there. Tell your friends. Tell anyone with a Gmail account, because it's a Google Doc, so any Gmail account can vote. If you have more than one Gmail account, maybe you can vote more than once. I don't know. I'm not going to say that I've tried it already and it worked, but I'm just saying you could potentially
do that. It's science, you know?
It is science.
It is science, bitches.
We don't have science, bitches. We have a different bitches on this program, but we don't have science, bitches. And I can't even find the other bitches right now. There it is.
Wild card, bitches! Yeah!
So go out there, vote. We do appreciate the support. Head on over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Pick up your very own Chair Shot t-shirt. Lots of designs, lots of excitement. Look your best, feel your best. Feel your best because you buy your shirt in the style of soft. Not because Miranda is the hashtag queen of soft style, although that's a perfectly good reason.
It is.
We may have each acquired a new t-shirt over the past week. Those t-shirts might be in the style of soft because that's the only
Absolutely.
Style.
Absolutely. Treat yourself.
That's right.
I mean,
treat yourself.
During the holiday season, it's going to be very stressful. Maybe you are cooking Thanksgiving dinner this week. So wear a soft style t-shirt. It will help you relax. It will help you, you know, get through your three stages of hell in cooking Thanksgiving dinner. So, you know, treat yourself. Buy a soft style t-shirt. Lots of colors, styles, designs available at prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
That soundbite is for thechairshot.com, of course. Both of our shows and this special edition are all presented as part of the ChairShot Radio Network, which you can find exclusively at thechairshot.com. We appreciate you heading over there, checking out the content, supporting your friends. And next week, obviously, we'll be back to a little more normal schedule. And next week, there won't be any Patrick, so Miranda and I get to figure out what we want to do. So, yeah, we'll work on that. Maybe we get a guest. Maybe we just do whatever. Who knows? But we'll figure that
Who
out
knows?
For next week. We got to get through some Thanksgiving first.
Huh.
That's right. We do what we want.
D'Lo Brown head back and forth for those of you who can't see.
The real deal. But I have a song for next week now, so that's good. Appreciate you doing that for me, making my life easier.
Always.
But we'll figure that out. We won't even probably worry about that till at least Friday because we got things going on. So, yeah, we appreciate you listening. Hope you had as much fun as we did. If not, still vote for us, and we'll try harder next week. I felt like we could have sold Adam Cole a little more this week. Like, I feel like...
I mean, Really?
I think so.
Just going to go back to Adam Cole.
I mean, what else would we talk about?
I'm sure we'll talk about him next week.
The postscript.
He's going to be on TV again. I mean,
he shouldn't be. He should be taking at least a week off. Let's be honest.
Oh, no. Apparently not. Apparently, he's just going to keep on wrestling until his limbs fall apart.
That's right. And Tommaso Ciampa is going to wrestle and not show any signs of anything from War Games. So, there's that as well.
You know, look, selling is inconsistent. I mean, that was a whole topic we didn't get into. But,
we didn't.
You know, Io and Candice left the match for 20 minutes, but Rhea stayed in the whole time. So, I don't know.
Eh, it is what it is, right? What can you do? Who knows?
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.